God's gracious help and well-being, grace and peace to each one of you, God's steadfast love, loyalty, and kindness. We're continuing our summer series, Seeking God Together. Last week, a Samaritan returned to give thanks to Jesus, and today a Moabite woman returns with her mother-in-law, another foreigner. This is a very inclusive strand in the Bible, and Jesus certainly stood in the tradition of Ruth and Isaiah. Very inclusive. When I started my pediatric practice in Washington, January of 1981, when I saw my first patient there, the interest rates were high. This was in a time of inflation. I think the interest rates we're trying to remember were like 18%, maybe 15 or 18%. So I had to borrow money, of course, and at the beginning, when we were outfitting the office, Deb went to Sentimental Journey, which is a store on the square in Washington, and purchased a beautiful roll-top desk for me. And we may have a picture of that, have a picture of it closed and then open, a mess, but it shows that a lot of work goes through that. And this has been a symbol to me for many years of Deb's steadfast love and loyalty and kindness. This is an example of what we're going to be talking about today, which is chesed. We'll relearn and revisit it, a Hebrew word. So this Hebrew word, the beginning consonant has a k sound, chesed. Sometimes it's just spelled H-E-S-E-D. But it's steadfast rescuing love over the long haul. This is used only three times in the book of Ruth. In chapter 1, verse 8, it refers to the Lord. In chapter 2, verse 10, it refers to the Lord and Boaz. And in chapter 3, verse 20, I believe it is, there's 3:10, 2:20 and 3:10, it refers to Ruth. But even though it's used just three times, it is what the Lord accomplishes throughout this book. It permeates the story. God displays God's chesed image through the main characters, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, who are created in God's image. Life comes out of death. Redemption from oppression. This is a very active word. It's love in action. Famine and death and bitterness are not ignored. This is real life, and these are real people. But through it all, God's hand is present in amazing and serendipitous ways. This is a wonderful story, and we'll read chapter 1 together. Holy Spirit, please be present to illumine this text for us. Thank you. Amen. Now, we're going to do something really old-fashioned today. I'd like you to use your pew Bibles. It's okay to use a real book sometimes, or maybe you have your own Bible, or maybe you have the Bible on your phone. Ruth 1. Now, Ruth in the Christian Bible comes after Judges. Okay, this will help you find it. In the Hebrew Bible, it comes after Proverbs. It's one of the, it's called the Festival Scrolls. Read at the time of celebration. This particular book, Ruth, is read at the time of Pentecost. Ruth 1, in the days when, I'll be reading from the NRSV, it may be a little different from what you have. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Famine makes refugees and is a present reality even in our time. Lines at food pantries are getting longer. In Colombia, Maria de Mello at the Mennonite Church in Rio Hacha serves food to Venezuelan refugees who cross the border there. So this family crossed the Jordan River at the top of the Dead Sea to Moab, their eastern neighbor. Bethlehem means house of bread, but there wasn't any bread, there was famine. Moab has negative connotations in the Bible, so this was somewhat of a shameful migration. And things didn't turn out particularly well. Interesting, this story needs to be read in cultural context, and one study is of a group of women in a village in Kenya, and as they read the story of Ruth together, they thought that the death of these men was perhaps due to their leaving their community in Bethlehem, a punishment. So this was their take on it. We probably wouldn't think that way. But we don't know how the men died. We do know that to be a widow in a foreign land without sons put Naomi in a tenuous, at-risk situation. She was very vulnerable. Let's continue with verse 6. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly," this is the first time we have this word kesed, "kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." Much is lost in translation here, including the sounds of the words. Bitter. Notice how many times the word return, verb return, or turn back is used. This chapter, return, is used often. The rest of Ruth, the word redeem is used often, often translated next of kin or nearest of kin. So return and redeem are important words. So return or turn back, a change in direction, almost like repentance. God has provided food in Bethlehem, which means house of bread. Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. This is a woman's story. Women who claim or take agency or choice in and even against their culture and make history happen. Orpah has grit. She may have had responsibilities in her family of origin. She may have had family she needed to care for. She is stepping out in a new direction. We might imagine she is showing independence and courage, exercising choice in a cultural context which may have been oppressive. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Here is the first time cassette is used, translated kindly. Long-term commitment. God's steadfast love endures. And both daughters-in-law do cassette. They are faithful in different ways. No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me. We'll return to this shortly. Return after your sister-in-law. This was a command. Naomi may be vexed here a bit, and Ruth disobeys. Ruth clung to her. Continuing with verse 16, but Ruth said, do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you. When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So this is the longevity of chesed. This is a powerful and familiar poetic speech. So we just sit with it a bit, not trying to explain the emotions and feelings of this situation further. Verse 19, so the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women said, is this Naomi? She said to them, call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. It has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me. Call me no longer Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? Naomi means pleasant, delightful, or happy. No longer. Naomi is stating and complaining that God has mistreated her. Naomi has been compared to Job. But in contrast to Naomi, Job wants to understand. Job does theology. He states his case to God. He is righteous, not perfect, but righteous. He has, quote, friends who tell him he must have sinned for these things to happen. He must not have prayed hard enough or fasted enough. They are wrong. In the end, Job is vindicated, but also realizes that God's ways are not his ways. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Job 42:3. We don't know why Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion died. We do know that no place on earth is completely safe for humans. For instance, the waves in the sea, natural laws like tornadoes, the ways our genes and chromosomes assort, random, accidents, falls, exposure to infections like COVID. God has given much freedom in creation, much randomness. God does not override human choices that have bad consequences. Deb showed me a video this week or last of a boy kayaking and a great whale rising up behind him. Did you see that on that video? He was out kayaking and then a great big whale came right. Boy, he was paddling like mad to get back to shore. So there's no place that, did you see the photos from the James Webb telescope this week? Did you see any of those on the news? Just think, one reporter said, the universe is a dangerous place. Just think, galaxies bumping into each other. Just think about that, or dancing with each other. Would you like to be out there? Carolyn Custis James, in her book, The Gospel of Ruth, Loving God Enough to Break the Rules, tells of her brother-in-law dying with two other mountain climbers on Mount Hood in Oregon. Treacherous weather. So these things happen, they're part of life. God answered Job with creation. Where is the way to the dwelling of the light? Surely you know, isn't that interesting with this James Webb telescope? Where is the light come from? Surely you know that answer. Look at Behemoth, a mythical rhinoceros-like beast. Can you draw out Leviathan, a big crocodile with a fishhook, Job? Naomi doesn't do theological inquiry. She starts where Job ends. She and Job are true believers, God-fearers, heroes of the faith. They realize that God's chesed is present in the suffering of this life. Trouble, failure, illness, disappointment, isolation, broken heart, and God's chesed sit side by side. God suffers with us. God's amazing hand of chesed in the midst of struggle and even bitterness. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. Isaiah 45:7. These two things that God makes, weal and woe, fullness and emptiness, are reflected in Naomi's use of two words for God in verse 20-21. Lord and Almighty. And don't forget that God does things we are not to do. So this is great mystery and paradox in spite of all the randomness and freedom God has given in creation. We see God's hand at work each day in wonderful ways. Is Naomi empty coming back? Is she empty? Straggling along behind her is a daughter-in-law who is worth more than seven sons. And Ruth has a community in Bethlehem that responds. Isn't God amazing? They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. This is hope. I mentioned in the Hebrew Bible, Ruth comes after Proverbs and is one of the festival scrolls. It's associated with the one-day Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. This is at the end of the 50-day barley and wheat harvest. So we're reading Ruth today at the end of the wheat harvest in central Illinois. I gleaned some wheat this week. Beautiful. So wrapping up, what are our transformational goals? How can we apply this? We are like Naomi because of life, and we ought to be like her in her determination and endurance. And we ought to be like Ruth and Boaz later in the story. Ruth is willing to walk a mile, as the saying, walk a mile or miles in Naomi's shoes. Catherine Roberts in Rejoice, June 30, some of you have read this, Love is an Action Item, tells of her husband dying at the age of 44, leaving behind their two children, ages 5 and 7, and her after 11 years of marriage. A friend of her husband continues to walk with the family over the long haul. He offers to hang out with my children while I get a break, remembers our birthdays and anniversaries, shows up to cheer my son on at his baseball games, and invites us to share meals with his family. This is chesed. Carolyn Custis James defines chesed: someone cares and has freely made it their business to look out for you. The good news of the gospel today is God's chesed, and this is stated well in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love, chesed, for the thousandth generation. This word chesed is used about 250 times in the Hebrew Bible. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So to the third and fourth generation, perhaps, of God's anger, but God's steadfast love to the thousandth generation. This is what we need to focus on. As God's image bearers, we can be at peace with our long-term commitments. Reach out to others and come alongside. Although we are not God, by the Holy Spirit, we can do chesed, faithful love to God and others. Remember, chesed goes along with justice for the widow, the alien, the poor, the vulnerable. These are the people God is interested in. Chesed, steadfast love, long-term commitment has always been a hallmark of Mennonite Church and of this congregation. So I would encourage you to reach out to each other, form relationships, walk alongside for the long haul. Be open to developing spirit-led spiritual friendships. Christian community is for the long haul. This is God's chesed. Ruth is a book of chesed and blessings. So we'll close with prayer, which will include blessing for you, for all of us. Pray together. Thank you, Lord, for being merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Thank you for Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah's story. We also cling to your chesed. Receive this blessing. Through it all, may you have one or more persons and a faith community who cleave to you in faithful love. May God deal kindly with us together. Amen. We're going to receive the children's reflections. Now, this is an important part of the service if they're back. If they're not back, we'll go ahead to the moment in mission and then they can give their reflections when they return. Our moment in mission is an example of love in action, or chesed. Becca York from Bogota, Colombia. She extols God's character as she and her church community walk alongside those, including immigrants from Venezuela, for instance, in need of food and rent assistance in times of uncertainty, death, and illness. Her current involvement is Justapaz. This is the peace and justice arm of the Colombian Mennonite Church, especially women in peace. And I think this goes along really well with Naomi and Ruth's story today. So thank you to our missions team for this moment in mission. And we pray that God will continue to provide friends and support for Becca.
Greetings in the name of Christ. As we begin this new year, and I begin my third year living in Bogota, I wanted to send an update on what life is like for us. The pandemic is still very much a reality, and we continue to live on a day-to-day basis. While most of the restrictions have been lifted, a new normal of social distancing, a mix of virtual and in-person meetings, along with complete mask wearing, define much of our lives. The past 2 years have been a change for everyone. Amidst various lockdowns, restrictions, limited access, worldwide to life-saving vaccines, and constant political and social unrest, I often found the possibility of a new normal very distant and maybe even impossible. After 2 years, while things have changed, they are marked by a collective experience of both local and global unknowns, death, illness, and various uncertainties. Amidst it all, the Spirit has not stopped working, moving in the lives of many and revealing different parts of God's character, not only to myself, but also to the people I have been relating to. In this update, I will share about three areas of ministry that I have been involved with in the past 2 years. These three areas offer a sneak peek into what life is like for me right now, in the framework of our new reality. As difficult as it is to articulate, the various quarantines and lockdowns allowed me to slowly develop a strong relationship with one of the local churches here, Iglesia Menonita de Teusaquillo. While it took time to develop trust over the internet, the relationship has blossomed into something beautiful. I have been embraced and accepted by the community of faith. It is lovely to show up at church, which is now in person, and be greeted by many of whom I'd only interacted with on Zoom. I also continue to serve on the Peace and Justice Committee at the church, where we work with Venezuelan immigrants, as well as the indigenous communities currently living and protesting in the Parque Nacional, or the National Park. The project that was started with the Venezuelan migrants during some of the strictest lockdowns here in Bogotá in 2020 has continued. And I have been blessed to have walked alongside some individuals and families over the past 2 years. While there is a lot of turnover in regards to who we are directly working with, there are some families who continue to receive bags of food and rent stipends as they look for more stable work. Some of the women I have gotten to know over the past 2 years and are now dear to my heart, and we know each other by name. And here I'll share a little anecdote. One woman, let's call her Diana, has 2 young girls, and Diana has been with us since pretty early on in 2020. And she has even started helping us in the project to package the food parcels that we hand out. Her older daughter, who is 5 years old, always calls out, "Hola Rebe, ¿cómo vas?" Which means, "Hello Rebe," which is short for Rebecca, "how are you?" I am then usually embraced with a big hug from her. Oftentimes, we end up playing together for a bit while her mom talks to another leader in the project and collects her bags. These moments and exchanges are sweet and precious. Maybe the most important aspect I have learned from these encounters is that being a neighbor is not just about responding to the needs of those who cross our paths. Being a neighbor has deep meaning. It means choosing to see others with God's eyes and take on the role of a servant. To be ready to see God in the perceived other. And with such eyes and through such exchanges, God is found in unlikely places and in unlikely people in the midst of suffering. As many of you know, my initial invitation to come and serve in Colombia was related to the Mennonite Seminary here in Bogotá. Relationship and trust building has looked a little bit different in this area. While I am privileged to have walked alongside the seminary these past 2 years, as it has shifted its focus and begun working towards being a recognized academic institution, I am no longer directly involved with its ministry. The new director has worked hard to develop a 3-year plan of study. He has found Colombian professors to facilitate all the courses and has encouraged the participation of young men and women alike to study for 3 years. This past semester was the first year where the initial cohort began its third and final year of study, while simultaneously starting with a new cohort of students. I am so thankful for the honor I had in co-teaching a course with a Colombian peace builder at the seminary. It was an experience that I will cherish for years to come. At the same time, my focus has shifted a bit, and I am now serving with Justa Paz more directly. Justa Paz is a ministry of the Colombian Mennonite Church that focuses on peace-building efforts and redressing conflict here in Colombia. And this brings me to my third and final update. Churches as well as NGOs work on a calendar year basis here in Colombia. While I started collaborating with Justa Paz at the end of last year, I have been invited to stay on as part of the team for the calendar year 2022. In January, once the Christmas holidays were over, we spent weeks planning for this next year with Justa Paz. It was very helpful for me to see the goals and work that Justa Paz as an organization has for this year to help me better understand where the area I support, the area called Mujer y Paz, or Women and Peace, fits into the larger picture. I am very excited for this next chapter, and I look forward to the ways I will grow and learn together with the three other women who make up the Mujer y Paz team. I give thanks to God that I have been able to find my voice and my place within the larger Justa Paz organization. And finally, I want to express my deep and unending gratitude once again for all the ways you and your congregation have supported me. The emails, text messages, financial support throughout the past 2 years, difficult years at that, have given me a newfound understanding of what it means to be a global body of Christ. May grace and peace be yours in abundance, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord.
Okay, this morning we talked about ways we can be kind and show love to others as Jesus wants us to. So each of us will share an example. Giving a simple smile to someone or offering to do yard work for an elderly person.
You could hold a door open for someone.
You could help people when they fall, like my friends.
Helping people by teaching them how to read.
Morning. This is our prayer sharing time. I think Steve has the microphone. If anybody has any prayer requests, come from right, Steve, Don.
Thank you. I just have a prayer request. Phil Fisher, who's a steady worker at the pantry, he's there every time, or really he's usually the first one in to help, has had a second stroke. He had a stroke a few years ago, and Jay helped take him to the hospital yesterday from the pantry. He had come to the pantry, and we all felt he needed to see someone, so he has had a stroke, and he's at St. Francis Hospital. Pray for him.
Don, in your mercy. Don, Steve, John, don't.
Bob Shepherd was able to return home to his home at Snyder Village, and so can you to remember him as he is healing with his knee injury. We've had so many people that have had fractures and injuries. So let's continue to remember all of them, praying for healing and improvement and relief of pain. Thank you.
And for healing, in your mercy, Lord.
I have a dear friend, Barbara, who is an American but moved to Wales with her Welsh-born husband around the same time that we moved to Wales. And unfortunately, her husband, Trevor, just passed away. And I just feel so deeply for her, though she's being well cared for and loved on by those in the village. She's an American feeling very much alone right now. So I would just ask for prayers of comfort for my friend, Barbara.
And for loss and grieving in our Lord, hear our prayers. Okay, yes, and for the family and friends of Russ Bachman, I think it's this Thursday, the funeral here, for their loss and grieving, Lord, prayers. Yes?
I would just ask for prayer for my mother, whose health has been declining over the last couple weeks. So I would just covet your prayers for peace and comfort for her. Thanks.
And for all of us, for peace and comfort. Lord, hear our prayer.
The mission team's going to take a small group of kids from the South Side on Thursday to Hungry World Farm. Just pray for safe travels and a good time together.
And for safe travels and new experiences, Lord, hear our prayers. Okay, I'm going to refer you to the bulletin for the prayers of the people sharing. I am the one. And you are the many. And when it gets to the name-specific concerns, I'm going to pause, and I would like you to send up your whatever comes to your mind, your situation, and we'll send the prayers, and then I will continue from that point. So join me. God, may we rejoice in your love, kindness, and gentleness. We thank you that we can present our prayers and petitions to you. We care about all our needs, and we know that the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we ask. We bring our concerns for those who are sick. We know you are the great healer, so we ask. We bring our concerns for those who are in pain. This could be physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual pain. We know you comfort those who hurt, so we ask. We bring our concerns for those who are experiencing loss. This could be a loss of a job, an opportunity, a loved one, or a dream. You know those hurts and pains that we can easily hide from others. You know what that loss feels like, and we seek you in the midst of the sadness and grief, so we ask. We bring our concerns for places all around the world that are full of conflict and violence and war. When violence seems to be all around us, we know we can depend on you. So again, we ask, may your peace prevail in all our hearts, that we may trust you more deeply. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in